Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So I told you guys yesterday, as silly as it sounded, that I have so much respect, so much reverence for Golden State, and in particular Stephen Clay, that until I see them slayed, I see them laying on the canvas, on the ground, dead, I just can't count them out. I just can't do it. Those guys are warriors, pun intended. And what those guys did last night was all-time stuff. I mean, think about all the... They're down 3-1 on the road. Their best player goes down. Your running mate, Kevin Durant, goes down. And you got to go next level for four quarters just to give yourself a chance. And you do go next level for four quarters. And you still see yourselves down 6 with 3 minutes left. So what do? You go to another level and end the game on a 9-2 run, win. Klay Thompson played 42 minutes. Steph played 41 minutes. They combined for 57 points and hit 12 threes. Splash Brothers, arguably the best backcourt ever. But beyond all the tangible things they did, I just can't say enough about the heart and the will and the fight. You know, remember Rudy Tomjanovich has the famous quote, "Never underestimate the heart of a champion." And I know that sounds like real, like you're watching ABC Family and, you know, it's an after-school special and it's corny and shit, but it's real. And that was on display last night. Those dudes are just tough. They're built for it. You know, like, it's funny how we always think about how do you build a champion? I mean, we're thinking about that with, like, Frost. How do you build a champion? And it's always so centered around the physical, tangible skills. And don't get me wrong, you need those. But oftentimes, the most non-negotiable things are the intangible things. Toughness, togetherness, will, heart. And all those things are hard to quantify, hard to describe, but you know it when you see it. And I see it with Golden State. In particular, Stephen Clay. I mean, those guys, think about all that they've endured throughout the... I mean, first of all, targets on their back, fifth straight finals. I mean, think about... You know, KD goes down, they've been around him for a month. Clay hurts his hammy, Kevon Looney breaks his rib. They lose Boogie Cousins in the first round of the play, like, and they've just continued to try to, you know, revamp, reload, keep pushing, keep fighting. What a win! I mean, that's an amazing. I know last night that and deservedly so, that Kevin Durant's injury casts a long shadow. But like, man, that is one of the all time gut check toughness wins you can imagine. And now this thing shifts back to Oakland for game 6. And I told you that I thought this thing had a great chance to go 7. Well, things are trending that way. And now, I mean, in spite of Kevin Durant's injury, and you guys can say I'm crazy, you got to imagine momentum on Golden State side right now. Yeah. It's got to be.
So I wouldn't call it momentum, but I think I said this earlier. They now have a why. Before, it wasn't let's do this for KD. Sure. KD was hurt, you know? But now KD went out there, put his body on the line. Now it's probably going to have to miss all of next season. And now you're like, let's win this dude one.
Yeah. So, I mean, they can use the Kevin Durant thing as a rallying cry.
Yeah.
And
you start that rallying cry at Oracle? The last game ever to be played at Oracle?
That's the last game ever in that arena for Golden State. You think Toronto's going to go win that game?
Ooh.
Because that's the thing. Like, I think Golden State's winning game 6 at home. And then, as we've seen before, game 7, anything can happen, dude. And, you know, for me, like, you do gotta kind of wonder where Toronto's heads are at, right? To be that close, to know, to have the championship trophy in the building. The trophy was in the building last night. To have the champagne on ice in the locker room and to not taste it, to not hold the trophy, to have those things then locked up and wheeled away, that's tough, dude. That is tough. So, I think this thing's definitely going seven now. And then in a game seven, I mean, it still took Golden State hitting 23s, and it took a colossal meltdown from Toronto in the final 3 minutes for Golden State to win, but nevertheless, they did.
And that's why I'm like, this Toronto team is not afraid to go to Golden State.
No, I mean, they're not going to get, they're not going to be rattled by the crowd.
No.
I thought last night when they called the timeout with 3 minutes left, I thought they were rattled by the realization of, oh my God, we might win it.
This is close.
Oh my God.
Because let's be honest, they were close the whole game, never really got through to get that lead. And then you got the lead and then you got a 6-point lead.
That still the moment that I couldn't believe it in the moment. I couldn't believe it when I watched it, and I still can't believe it now. Because if Golden State ends up winning this series, like we're talking about, I think you could trace everything back to the timeout by Toronto with 3 minutes left. I was so confused in the moment, and I still don't think I get it. Fourth quarter last night, Raptors are on a 12-2 run, and Kawhi's going bananas. He had made 4 straight shots. The crowd is losing their collective minds. 3 minutes left, 3 minutes away from winning a title. Toronto up 6, 103-97. Kawhi has the ball. So the best player, who's the hottest guy on earth, has the ball. Crowd's in a frenzy. All of the momentum on Toronto's side. The champs are bleeding. They're against the ropes. 12-2 run. Up 6, 3 minutes left. And Toronto calls timeout. What? Huh? Why on earth would you call timeout in that spot? And I'm telling you, I think that decision might have cost Toronto the game. Because what happens after that? The Warriors in the game on a 9-2 run and win the game. Again, I thought it in the moment. I tweeted it in the moment, and I still can't believe it now. And I'm not really as concerned. You know, I don't know if it was Nick Nurse or if it was Kyle Lowry or if it was if it was Kawhi Leonard. It's not totally clear on who called it. I think Nick Nurse kind of wanted to call timeout. I think Kyle Lowry kind of wanted to call timeout. I think Kawhi Leonard wanted to call timeout. And I think it was a wrong call. Now, Nick Nurse has explained that he had a use it or lose it timeout, and they say, well, we might as well just call the timeout, conserve some energy, which to me is just, what? But again, the analogy, I mean, imagine this. It's 1993. The United Center in Chicago is rocking. The Bulls are on a 12-2 run, and Michael Jordan is on fire. The Bulls are up 6 with 3 minutes left, and Jordan's got the ball. Picture it, right? They got the Bull at center court. I want you to really picture it. Jordan's crossing half court. He's got the rock. Oh, by the way, the Bulls are one win away from winning a title. United Center's on their feet, rocking, building is shaking. Jordan is hot. He scored 4 straight baskets. Timeout. Timeout, Chicago. What? Huh? That's basically what happened last night. I mean, here was it. Kawhi made 4 straight shots. 26-foot-3, bang. Little runner off the glass. Perfect. Banged another 3 and then hit a little 15-footer. Bang. Kawhi Leonard went another level. Incredible. Made his last four shots, 10 points in 2 minutes. He's hot. Now he's got the ball, and you call timeout, crushing all your momentum, all the energy, and disrupting Kawhi's flow. And here's the thing. You know, there's that whole thing if, you know, they tell tightrope walkers or you see in the movies like, hey, man, don't look down. Because all of a sudden when you look down, what happens? All of a sudden you get in your head. The moment sinks in. I'm telling you, calling timeout in that moment allowed for two things to happen. It allowed for Toronto collectively looked down and went, oh boy, we're 3 minutes away from doing this. And they got tight. And then it allowed the champs, Golden State, to go into a huddle where they've all, you understand how many wars those dudes have been in? Iggy, Clay, Steph, Draymond, Kerr, all those guys were able to look at each other and collectively, all right, guys, here we go. So you allowed Golden State to get a hold of themselves. And you disrupted the momentum and flow from Toronto. I don't get it, man. Head scratching. And I'm telling you, if Golden State goes on to win this thing, I think everything could be traced back to that moment. I really, really do. Aiden emails in to Nick at 1620 The Zone. He goes, all things considered, that may have been the worst timeout in the history of basketball. And yes, I'm including Chris Webber at Michigan in my thoughts. I don't know about that, but I don't know about that. But I don't think I've ever. I mean, what do people always do when they're on a, like, what is always the thought when a team's going on a big run? The other team's got to call timeout, right? I mean, what is one of Dickie V's catchphrases? Oh, you better get a T.O., baby. You better get a T.O. Right? He's not talking about the team that's on a run. When Jordan had 35 in the first half in 92 against Portland, it wasn't like, oh, Phil Jackson better call timeout. Jordan's too hot. Again, you can go times. I tweeted in the I was like, why did they call timeout?
You tweeted multiple times.
Oh, man. I tweeted a bunch of times. I was on one last night. Anyway. Why would they call timeout?
Yeah.
Inexplicable. I don't understand it.
Because that place was rocking. Imagine if they score on that possession and then Golden State takes a timeout. There's no way that any Warriors player is going to be able to hear anything that Steve Kerr has to say. That place is rocking. You're up 8, possibly 9 at that point.
It's one of the most mind-blowing. And I don't understand because everybody's like, man, I tell you what, Kawhi looked gassed. And to that, I'm like, so there was a timeout taken at 5 minutes and 34 seconds left. Remember, Kawhi Leonard had the biggest travel maybe in the history of travels. And it was such a bad travel that everyone stopped, and yet Powell kept running, and Kawhi passes it to Norman Powell, and he dunks it. So 95-93, Kerr calls timeout with 5:36 left and goes loco on the officials. So after that, then it's 5:13, Kawhi Leonard, 3. 4:46, Kawhi Leonard, 2-pointer. And then Draymond hit a little lefty hook shot, remember? And then Kawhi Leonard makes a 3. Iggy misses a jumper. Kawhi Leonard makes a 16-foot pull-up. I don't... And then timeout. I struggle... Because, by the way, here's the thing. So, timeout at 5:34, or whatever I said, 5.5 minutes. There was Marc Gasol fouled someone at 3:54. So there was a moment at 3:54 to at least, and anybody that's ever hooped knows that, like, just that, just a dead ball is enough for you to, if you can get 10 seconds to just, And then a minute later, Kawhi was too gassed?
What?
I don't get it. All right, we're past a break here. Let's take one. 402-951-1620. Grab a couple of your phone calls, Jason. Stay right there. Get you on the other side. You can email me, Nick at 1620zone.com. Hit me on Twitter at Nick Baugh. Game time.